may be seated. Thank you. Are you buckled up?
Yes.
I was going to begin with a YouTube clip, but due to technology we couldn't get it going. But the YouTube clip was one from Crash Dummies, which is just the two crash dummies are in their vehicle and it comes forward and flies into the wall, and the air pockets, airbags work and come out, and they're sitting there and they're just going, wow, isn't that fantastic? You know, no more hitting the glass, no more teeth into the dashboard. This is fantastic. And as they're talking about how fantastic it is, this big metal ram, hydraulic ram, comes out from the side wall, hits the door, and the two dummies fly out of the car through an open door and smash in the wall. And as they're on the floor, they look at each other and say, we still got to put our seatbelts on. And then the sign comes up, don't be a dummy, buckle up. So this morning, the title of my sermon is Buckle Up, or the subtitle is Are You Smarter Than a Crash Dummy? Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd minister to us. Lord, that your word would find a resting place and would bear fruit, because we ask it in your name. Amen. So are you smarter than a crash dummy? They know the principle of being restrained. You know, in a car accident, restraint plays a big part in safety. It's too late to be restrained when you see the danger coming. If you're in one of Joe's taxis, airport taxis, and the driver says to you, don't worry about buckling up, mate, I got a good safety record, it's all going to be fine, and you're travelling down the road, and all of a sudden, as he's going through a green light, someone comes ploughing through a red light on the other side, and as he sees him come through, it's too late for him to say to you, you better buckle up. The unexpected is about to happen. Who knows? You've got to be restrained for when the unexpected takes place. In Proverbs 29, in verse 1 it says that a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will be destroyed without remedy. In the Message Bible it says, people who hate discipline only get more stubborn. There'll come a day when life tumbles in and they break, but by then it's too late to help them. In other words, you must buckle up. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, there's the old verse that many of you would know that says, without a vision, people perish. Or in the King James Version. In the NIV, it says that where there is no revelation, people live unrestrained. I want to talk to you about living unrestrained this morning and what it means. You know, this Christmas, Christmas, I should say, is often referred to as, and has been referred to already this morning, as the silly season. Guess why it's called the silly season? Because often people are silly. Okay? Not silly in the sense that Alex was talking about, where she says she likes to be silly. But being really silly is living unrestrained. And how often at Christmas do people become unrestrained? What are some of the areas? You tell me. What are some of the areas that people are unrestrained?
Overspending.
Very good. I got that one on my list.
Overeating.
That's mine. Yeah, you can see it. What else? Hey? The office party, yeah, I got that one down there too. Often, in their actions, in the office parties, people do things where they're unrestrained, and often we'll see stories in years to come and later where people pay the price of their unrestrained actions during a Christmas party. In drinking, in a whole lot of areas, people forget about life and what it is that they should and how they should live, and they become unrestrained in their lifestyle. In other words, they stop living purposefully and focused lives. And God calls us to live purposeful lives. The very first thing it talks about here in Proverbs 28, and Proverbs 29 verse 18 is that vision and revelation. So I want to just focus on two things this morning, vision and revelation, and then the word perish and unrestrained. The first words here are no vision or no revelation. In other words, vision is talking about what you see. It's talking about that clarity of what you see for your life, the purposes that you've been given. It's how you see the big picture. And revelation is simply talking about that insight that you have into life and its purposes and what you know that you're meant to be living. I want you to notice, though, in Proverbs 29, there's a bit of a progression and a pattern. Let me read a few verses to you. In verse 1 it says, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will be destroyed without remedy. In verse 3 it says, a man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father. Verse 6, an evil man is snared by his own sin. Verse 15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Verse 17, discipline your son and he will be your delight. And then it rolls into verse 18 and it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In the new NIV, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed are those who heed wisdom's instruction. In the King James Version, when it talks about no vision, and I know that often that's linked to when you go to leadership seminars, you'll hear people talk about that you need a vision. If you don't have a vision, your business will perish. What you're doing will perish. But I want to broaden that a bit more this morning. I want to broaden what it's talking about because often we see it in that light. We talk about vision as being that thing that we're aiming for. But here I see in Proverbs there's a bit of a pattern that develops. We're talking about that revelation that comes, that understanding that comes through not only just having the big picture, but through that revelation that comes through instruction, correction, and understanding. And as we start to understand that, it takes on a different meaning, doesn't it? It takes on not only a different meaning, but a broader meaning. In your life, what is it that we are doing that causes us to be instructed? What has been spoken into our life? What are we being challenged about? What are we being disciplined about in life? There's a lesson here for us to learn. I love 1 Timothy. In the book of Timothy, we read, this comes through over and over again. And as you read through Timothy, we see that Paul, in writing to him, instructs him that he should fashion his life and that his life should take on purpose and meaning regarding the vision that has been spoken over his life, regarding the prophecies that have been given over his life, regarding the upbringing that he's had and how that he's been instructed and taught and how wisdom has come into his life to give his life purpose and meaning, that he might track according to that vision. And we read it, we pick it up in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18 and 19. It says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight of faith, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so made shipwreck of their faith. We can pull in there that where it says that some have rejected these, some have become unrestrained, some have refused to buckle up and haven't followed through with the vision that was given over their life, with the prophecies and instructions that had been given into their lives, and so have made shipwreck. Or as we're looking at this morning, if we want to use that analogy, the car accident, we're unrestrained and all of a sudden an accident happens and we're vulnerable. So we've got to hang on to what has been given. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 14 to 16, it says again here, do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Here again, we're reminded that when we have that vision, when we have a direction that's given over our lives, that we're to remember, that we're to persevere. We remember to live restrained lives, that we remember to buckle up. And it's interesting here that he says that not only will we save our own life, but we'll save those who are travelling and passengers with us. Because often what happens in our life, it not only affects us, but others who are on the journey with us. And so Paul is reminding Timothy to take heed to the instruction and the vision that was given over his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, once again it says, Timothy, guard. Guard what has been entrusted to your care. Make sure that you allow it to guide your life and to guard your life, that you might continue to move forward in the vision and the direction and the purposes that God has for you. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, it picks it up again. And I love it there in verse 5. It says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Here Paul's reminding Timothy that this gift that he has been given has come to his life. This vision, this purpose, this revelation of who he is and what he is has been poured into his life through instruction and through teaching and through life, through first of all his grandmother. What a great heritage. What a great thing it is for us that have a Christian heritage. How many grew up in Christian families? A lot of us have. Some of us haven't. I know I did. And I remember growing up as a teenager thinking I'd been robbed. But now as I look back, I realise what an incredible gift and an incredible thing it is to have that Christian heritage. And here Paul reminds him that his life has been shaped and his purpose has been shaped by the things that his grandmother has spoken, the instruction that she has given, the instruction that his mother has continued to give, and now he as a young man has grown up and there is that which has been deposited in his life. And once again, in verse 14, again he reminds him in the same chapter, he says, so guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who also lives within you. Again in chapter 3, in verse 14 and 15, it says there, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those who have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness. And again in chapter 4 and verses 2 and 5, he is reminded to preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Here Paul is reminding him that there is instruction, there is things that have been given over his life which he's got to hang on to. It's so easy to want to let go and to unbuckle and to say, yep, I just want to live life how I want to live it. And here he is reminding him to come back to that basis of instruction and teaching and to the revelation that's been imparted into his life. Because as you live according to that, it provides that safety. It causes you to be buckled up. In the New Living Translation, it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. In the New Century Version, it says, when there is no word from God, people are uncontrolled. But those who obey what they have been taught are happy. In verse 19, he goes on to say in this translation, words alone cannot correct a servant, because even if they understand, they won't respond. What an incredible verse. What an incredible statement that it's made here in Proverbs. After talking about having a vision and knowing your purpose and knowing what you're supposed to be doing, having that revelation of knowing where you should be heading, it says here that they won't accept it. And even though you talk to them with words and you explain to them what they need to do, and they understand all that. They have that revelation. They still live unrestrained. What an incredible thing. I know in pastoral life that often you speak into people's lives and often you try and share with them and you try and instruct them. And I've seen people, they say, yeah, I know what you're saying, but, and they still choose to live unrestrained and drive through life without their seatbelt on. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It goes back to that verse 1 we read. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will be destroyed without remedy. There will come a time when the accident happens, when the crash comes, and there's nothing that can be done because they've refused to listen. They've become stiff-necked. They've not taken on board the things that have been spoken. And in our lives, we need to recognize. We need to recognize the instruction. We need to recognize the revelation. We need to recognize the call of God to live where we need to be. The Message Bible says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Again, it's just flowing on from that. If people can't see what God's doing, if they don't have a revelation of what God's doing, if they don't have that instruction, they're going to stumble over themselves. Holman, in his translation, says, without revelation, people run wild. But one who listens to instructions will be happy. I want to ask a question this morning. Who are you listening to? Who is speaking into your life? Who is giving you instruction? As I read and I alluded to, Timothy had Paul who spoke into his life, who spoke over his life, who gave him instruction, who gave him direction, who spoke vision, who spoke revelation and understanding that he might live a disciplined life, that he might live a life according to purpose. Who is it that's speaking into your life? Do you have a Paul? Do you have someone that you allow to speak into your life so that their words can penetrate? But not only is someone speaking into your life, the question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Are those words taking effect? Because people can speak again and again and again. But if we don't take a hold of it, we're living unrestrained and eventually it will bring us to a place where it will destroy us. And so the question is, are you responding? Have you put your seatbelt on this morning? Are you buckled up? Or is all that vision and all that's been spoken over your life, is all that understanding just going to waste because you're not responding to what has been spoken? You know, what we're talking about is discipleship, isn't it? I've got a good friend of mine who says that he doesn't like the word Christian, because he said it doesn't describe who we are and what we are. He likes the word disciple. He believes we should all be called disciples rather than Christians, because it defines who we are and what we should be and how we should live. And this is what this verse is talking about. It's talking about living as a disciple, living as one who is disciplined, who knows what it is to have the disciplines around his life, to not go through life unrestrained but to be buckled up. So we've had a look at the word vision and revelation. Let's have a look at the word understanding. Word unrestrained. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Or, as in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In Isaiah 28 and verse 7, it says that people who err in vision or in their revelation stumble in judgment. In the today's NIV version, it says, they stumble when rendering decisions. What an incredible thing. What a clear statement. That if we err in the vision that God has for our life, we're going to stumble in our decision making. I know from pastoral life that most of the pastoral work we do is often around the fact of people who've been living unrestrained life and poor decision making. I want you to think about it this morning. Someone once said that you are the exact sum total today, sitting in church here, you are the exact sum total of the decisions you've made, refuse to make or let other people make about you. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Right here this morning, you are the sum total of the choices that you've made, refused to make, or let others make for you. That puts life in a different focus, doesn't it? Hey? It brings home what this scripture is talking about. But if we don't have that vision, if we don't have that revelation, or if we've had that revelation and we're not living by it, if we haven't buckled up and we're not living according to it, if we're not living restrained lives according to the vision, then our decision making is going to be flawed. And we're going to make poor choices for our life and for those around about us. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Paul wrote to the Galatians. And in the Message Bible, he wrote it this way. It says it this way. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute amount of yeast to permeate an entire loaf. Friends, this morning, I want to challenge us as we come to the end of this year. And as we're thinking about the silly season, I want to challenge us to buckle up. I want to challenge us to remain focused. I want us to remember that we have been called, we have been given instruction, we have been given vision. And I want us to be challenged this morning to look at our lives, to just have a look at it and think back over this year. Your decisions this year, have they been good ones? Or are there some decisions you wish you could hit the rewind button and remake? Maybe this year you've been deflected from the true course of obedience. Maybe we've ventured away from the very purpose that God has and given us. Where are we right now? Where are we right now? The King James use of the word perish. Without a vision, people perish. And one of the meanings of this word perish is simply to be stripped naked. Without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, people are stripped naked. And it really takes its picture from a warfare picture, where the people who don't have a vision are like in a fight or in warfare without any armour. Can you imagine sending the Australian troops to Afghanistan with thongs, a pair of stubbies and a tank top with an Australian flag on it? How do you think they'd be? They'd be pretty vulnerable, wouldn't they? You reckon? And that's what this is saying. But when you don't have a vision, when you live unrestrained, that you're like someone who's been stripped naked. You're like an Australian soldier in Afghanistan with thongs, shorts, and a tank top with an Australian flag on it. Vulnerable. Vulnerable. Because when you don't buckle up, you are vulnerable. When you don't buckle up, you are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Another meaning is without revelation, people become ungovernable. They become disorderly and live wildly. In Psalm 32, and verse 9, it says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle, or they won't come to you. And here again, the picture is painted that we become ungovernable. We become those people who we read of earlier, who, although you can speak to them with words, although that you can convince them and show them of how they ought to be and what they ought to be, it doesn't make any difference. They won't do it because they're determined to live life their own way and go their own way. Matthew Henry, in looking at this verse, he makes this comment. He says, this verse, that without a vision the people perish, can be summed up with this statement. I had to think about it for a minute, but it says, this verse is about the misery of the people who want a settled ministry. That's a challenging statement, isn't it? Without a vision, people perish, he said, can be summed up with the words, the misery of the people who want a settled ministry. In other words, he's saying it's those who want to settle down, those who want to live unrestrained, those who want to take the seatbelt off, those who just want to plough through life and have it easy. They don't want to be buckled in. They don't want to be restrained. They want to be able to just live how they want and to go through life settled and easy. And I guess it's a picture of the children of Israel when they're travelling through the desert. One of the tribes said to Moses, we're settled out here. We don't want to go into the promised land. Let us just set up families here. We're already settled here. Don't make us pack up again and move to another place. And so they lived outside the camp, but living outside the camp makes one vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. It makes one exposed. And that's what this is talking about. This year, like me, maybe you've had some challenges. This year it might have been a tough year. Maybe you're coming to the end of the year and you're saying to yourself, I just want to take it easy. Maybe you've been saying to yourself, well, it's been a hard year, so next year I'm just going to veg. I'm just going to take the seatbelt off and I'm just going to cruise through 2011. This scripture is challenging us that God has given us a vision. There's been revelation over our lives about the purposes of God, and it's calling us to live a disciplined life and to put the seatbelt on and to buckle up. Because when we don't, we live life in a lane that makes us vulnerable to attack and to come undone. And I want to challenge us that as we face this next year, that each one of us will look at the vision and the purpose and the plan of God for our lives, knowing what God has called us to and saying, that's what I'm committed to for 2011. I'm not just going to cruise through the silly season into next year and live unrestrained. I am not going to settle for less than what God's called me. And like Matthew Henry said, don't get into the position of saying, I will just have a settled ministry because it's a miserable position. Let's face life in 2011 saying, I know what God's called me to, I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm meant to do. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd make us smarter than a crash dummy, that we'd know what it is to buckle up and to know that you've got plans and purposes for our lives. And Lord, I pray for those that may be here this morning who've never come into that relationship with you, who've never really had that revelation of who you are and Lord, that they don't know that life with you and that life of purpose and that life of meaning. And Father, I'm asking this morning that you'd just draw them to yourself. So while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and in the privacy of this room, I'm just asking that if you've never given your life to Jesus and you've not got that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never known what it is to come into a revelation, and you're saying this morning, yeah, I'd like to really know what that purpose is. I want to know God's plan for my life. I want to be in a position of following and living a purposeful life. I'm sick of living an unrestrained life, and I want to become a disciple of Jesus. If that's you this morning, why don't you raise your hand? Across this audience, why don't you just raise your hand? We just want to be able to pray for you, commit you to the Lord, and for you to know that, to discover it. Is there anyone this morning? Maybe there's those here this morning who As a Christian, I've been living an unrestrained life. And maybe you've taken the seatbelt off and you've been drifting, and God's challenged you this morning. And maybe it's time for you to stand up and say, God, I want to surrender again to you. I want to put the seatbelt on. I want to get back into the plans and the purposes that I have for you. I know you've given revelation over my life. Maybe there's others this morning who, yeah, you've given your life to Jesus, but you really have never come to that full revelation of what Christ has got for you and what God's got for you. Maybe you're saying, well, I don't have that revelation. I don't have an understanding. I don't have a vision. I don't want you to go into 2011 without a vision. I want you to know the plans and purposes of God. I want you to know God's plan for your life. And if that's you this morning, I'm challenging you that you would come forward for prayer. And as the band begin to sing, we're opening the altar up. It might be prayer for something else, but if you want prayer this morning, we've got time in this place to pray and to commit you to God. And if you haven't got a vision, maybe you've just been drifting, and as a Christian, you don't have that plan, that purpose. And you might say, well, yeah, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God, but I really have never come into a full understanding. I don't have that revelation. I don't see the big picture. Then this morning, why don't you come and say, God, I want the big picture. I want to know a vision for my life. I want to know your plans. I want to know your purposes. And allow God to speak into your life so that you can go through 2011 with your seatbelt on and live restrained, knowing the plans and purposes of God. Thank you, Ben.